Blog Talk Radio. Okay, let's play some music.
A world away and still not far, like fabric woven into art. The dawn has shot out through the night, and day is coming soon. The kingdom of the morning star can pierce the cold and stony heart. Its grace went through me like a sword and came out like a song. Now I'm just waiting for the day in the shadows of the dawn. But I won't wait, rest in my bones. It's veiled and stands behind the shroud. The final day when trumpets sound. Sometimes I glimpse into the fog and listen for the song. I'm waiting for the day in the shadows of the dawn.
Presence of my enemy, when the storm Yeah. That is by my heart, though the earth may
the train station inside of this train, where the people go to try and escape. And with anxious eyes we stand in line till the cold ground shakes to tell us it's time for the train. Yes, it's time for the train to stop. Some were steel and some were gold, and each conductor raved. They shouted, buy your tickets, save your souls. But one conductor sang, he shouted, you, come follow me. I'll buy your tickets and all pay your fees. Cause I know what you cost. Believe me, without this train you will be lost. So the rich men laughed and they walked away, but the poor ones felt that they should stay. So they told all of their friends, they told even strangers, till there were tens of thousands of people to come, let us see the scandalous train that claims to be free, just let us see.
second here. I have a little technical in difficulty here. Okay, it's called Rescued by Wisdom, and it's a series on David, the life of a king, and it's from 1 Samuel chapter 25. If you ever find yourself being inconsistent spiritually, like one day you're living like Hebrews 11 by faith, did this and that, and a little later it's like woe to you. Everyone struggles with some level of inconsistency. None of us are sinless. None of us walk in perfect wisdom. None of us have arrived yet. In fact, but with the grace of God, we will find ourselves shipwrecking our lives on the shores of some woefully bad decision, no matter our past good, wise, or godly decisions. In 1 Samuel 25, we get a picture of God's restraining grace in the life of King David. And the way God works his grace is through the gift of wisdom, and exercised by a woman named Abigail. She's going to show wisdom and in so doing help King David make a wiser, more godly choice. And God will use this to restrain David from great evil that could have brought much pain into his life and the life of others. But David is still not king. God is preparing David to be king, and they're a different king, kind of king than Saul, who has been a failure in today's passage. There are three main people: David, a wealthy man named Nabal, and his wife Abigail. Today we will see God's restraining grace at work through wisdom being used, imparted, and acted on. We will learn and see our need for rescuing wisdom. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in the house at Ramah. This is the death of a giant. His death is so impactful that all Israel assembled and mourned for him. Remember, this is the man that anointed David to be king. And in a difficult season of life, the wilderness season, David loses a source of wisdom, a friend, a mentor, etc. Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Moab whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Shulamite. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, so David sent 10 young men. Nabal, his name means foolish. Maybe a nickname what mama names her son Foolish. One really mad at daddy and sees a stunning resemblance. The Bible describes him as a very rich, harsh, and badly behaved. In short, Nabal is a rich man jerk. A rich, mean jerk. He is self-centered and his reputation is poor. He was a Shulamite. This may refer to him being a descendant of Caleb. Abigail, her name means my father is joyous. Abigail is discerning and beautiful. In short, she's beautiful inside and out. She's smart, clever, and she has insight and understanding. She will show herself wise. She is also pretty. Somehow, this beautiful, smart young woman ended up married to a foolish, mean guy. Sound familiar? Sure it does. We've seen this happen. It can happen both ways, certainly. Single folks, listen to me. When you look for a spouse, look for the equally yoked. That means another believer. In addition to that, don't marry a fool. Don't end up with a smooth-talking Nabal. Character matters in your mate. Guys, pray for an Abigail and guard against foolishness in your life. It ends in destruction. In 25, verses 4 through 9, David hears that Nabal is shearing his sheep. Here is why it's important. It's a payday. It's time for generosity. Verses 5 through 9 reveal that David and his men have been keeping Nabal's shepherds safe during the season and ensuring that nobody hurts or steals from them. It would have been customary in the time and place Nabal to show some generosity towards these men, to tip them, if you will. Some commentators mention that the Torah may have even expected this of Nabal. David seems to be looking for his generosity to be reciprocated. And Nabal answers David's servants, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse?" There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. So I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to the man who comes to, from I do not know where. So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, every man strapped on a sword, and every man of them strapped on a sword. David also strapped on a sword. And about 400 men went up after David, and while 200 remained with the baggage. Nabal answered foolishly. He asked David in a condescending way. Remember, David is famous in Israel. Nabal certainly knows who he is. He has nothing for this poor shepherd boy who is on the run. He compares David and his men to runaway servants. Nabal doesn't just say no. He says no with an insult. Imagine getting good service from the waiter instead of tipping, giving him an insult on the bill. That's Nabal's move. Nabal answers selfishly. Notice in verse 11, this man is only concerned about his stuff and doing with it what he will. He doesn't view himself as a steward. He doesn't recognize God's generosity in his life, so why would he be generous to others? So David responds angrily. Notice David tells every man to strap on a sword. David's about to take hundreds of men to Nabal's doorstep with bad intentions. Doesn't this seem way different than David in the cave last chapter? But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he has railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we went with them. So they were a wall to us both by night and by day, and while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house. And he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him. One of Nabal's men who is wiser than he steps in. Notice he points out, these men have been good to us. They helped us. They didn't hurt us. And he went to Abigail, the wife, not Nabal. Why? He is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him. Nabal is unteachable. People view him as a lost cause. His life is bound up in evil. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 shays of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, go before me, behold, I come after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Abigail is here going to intervene to save Nabal's life and the life of his men. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, owe me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for his name is so he is. Okay, Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young man of my Lord whom sent. Now my Lord, as Lord of lives, and your soul lives, okay, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now let the present that your servant has brought to me, my Lord, be given to young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. So if men rise up, pursue you, and seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living of the care of the Lord your God. And in lives of your enemies, he shall sling out of the hollow of the sling. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause for my Lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from basically with my own hand. So Abigail shows up. She humbles herself and takes the blame. She steps in and says, blame me. She does speak wisely to David. Nabal and Abigail struggling, peaches and peas joke. David responds, blessed by the Lord, David recognizes God's hand at work. God's working to restrain him from doing evil, from doing such foolish. David realizes God's at work through Abigail and her wisdom. Blessed be your discretion. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out, Nabal and his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. So Nabal is holding a feast like a king. Commentators point out how Nabal is a Saul-like figure in the text. Here is Nabal feasting like a king, but without kingly character. How does Nabal respond? Thank you, praise God. No, he seems to have a stroke or a heart attack and then dies 10 days later. He became as a stone. He found no place for repentance or gratitude. He became like his heart, stone. So when the Lord heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned to the evil of Nabal in his own head. Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said, there, David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife. So David has learned not to avenge his. He has experienced God's restraining grace that primarily showed up in Abigail's wife's counsel. So David ends up taking Abigail as a wife. Scholars point out that at this time that would give David the rights to Nabal's wealth. Nabal tried to give David nothing and ended up giving him everything in death. This would likely play a role in David's becoming king in Hebron in this region later. What can we take away from this story? The path of foolishness and sin leads to destruction. Nabal the fool, he traveled the path to the end. In the story, Nabal is a proverbial fool. Nabal is a harsh man and badly behaved. His behavior is foolish. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. He insulted David with harsh words. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6 and 7, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is ruined, and his lips are a snare to his soul. So Nabal reminds us that no matter how much money, power, success, or what family name you have, if you live foolishly, your life will end up with judgment. So Nabal reminds us of the rich fool in Luke 12. That rich man only thought of himself, only used his riches for himself. And in the end, in Luke chapter 12, verses 20-21, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The fool lives like tomorrow is guaranteed. They are self-centered, overconfident, and ultimately the riot is going to end, and they will be shocked. All righty. Well, let's get into the question of the night, and that is, do you know the Lord as your Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because you will get a chance to in just a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and not knowing which way to go, which way is up and down? Okay, are you lacking purpose in life? Are you suffering from depression or anxiety? Or are you suffering from something much worse, such as addictions to drugs and alcohol? Okay, sexual immorality. gambling, overeating, whatever the problem may be, the Lord can take it away. But in order for him to do so, he has to know you. Okay, if he does not know you, he can't do anything for you. So the question is, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully received your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we'd like to welcome you into the family of God and say, may the Lord bless you and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. And if you said this prayer, we would like you to call in at area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. When you do so, you will come on live. Again, you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay, well, anyway, let's take some callers. One more.
Good evening, here. Yeah. This is why you are being boycotted with a 45 minutes of poop-a-doo. And lies here.
You know what, BBF? No one cares. I don't care.
Everyone has boycotted you, and they are now listening to Kent's God Rainbow Ministries that I personally fund here financially.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. I'm glad. Okay? So, have a good day.
Good evening. Yes, I won. Yes.
You didn't win anything. Okay. Well, anyway, let's play some more music. Thank you.
the king upon his throne. You've deceived and lied, my child has gone into exile.
You're celebrating what
Kenny,
are you celebrating?
Well, it is June, the month of the gays. Is it not, Kenny?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is the gay month, but we must celebrate it. For it's like God's rainbow ministries, right? The rainbow is acceptance of all, the gays, and everyone and everything. That's why it is my honor to be the new manager of GRM.
You're not a new manager of GRM. You started a fake GRM.
Yes,
well, goodbye.
I am.
Goodbye, Ken. Okay. Tony Talk, is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Tony Talk, is that you?
Hello, bitch Kenny. I am the new owner.
No, you're not. You're not. You don't own nothing. Tony Talk, is that you?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Bo. What's up?
Hey, bud. I want to let you know that the new Twitch stream is fucking awesome. I've never heard the sermons are fucking awesome. The audio is fucking awesome. I mean, this is fucking great, and I'm so glad that you joined the Twitch community. I mean, because, I mean, you're on to something here, bud, and it's long deserved because your sermons, the world needs to hear them, you know?
Amen.
And, I mean, and that's, like, all the streaming services, I mean, Blog Talk, Twitch, like, every single one of them, I mean, you need to be heard, Ken. I mean, because you speak from the heart, you write every single one of your sermons, and it's from the heart, and that's why the world needs to know about Kenneth Fishman, the rabbi. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Bob.
Amen. You're welcome.
Let's see if we can bring on Tony Talk. Okay. Is that you, Tony?
Kenny, you are my bitch employee slave.
Well, I would call him an apprentice, but, I mean, to each man his own. Kenny, like
Kenny, it's DC2, baby.
Oh,
I gotta say, man,
holy fuck, the legend himself is in the house.
Kenny,
DC2.
Kenny,
all right, here
Kenny,
we go.
This new Twitch show, brother, is off the hook. Yo, where did you get that band? How did you get the Bomb Squad to play, brother? They're so good. Kenny, I mean, the pew, you got crowd participation. Bo, have you seen it?
No, fuck yeah, I've seen it. He's hitting
Kenny.
Fucking 100,000. He's hitting 100K every fucking stream. I mean, he's fucking going viral.
Kenny, how did you pull this off with nobody knowing? Farrah can't know, man. How did you do it, brother?
I didn't.
What?
No. Kenny.
I didn't
Kenny,
do it.
You did do this. You did this
no,
on
I
your own.
Not.
And it fucking took dedication.
Kenny.
And
it's called GRM,
like,
it was a
long, tough road, but you fucking made it, man. And you fucking went viral, and you're the fucking shit.
Kenny, I got to tell you, man, I'm all in, brother. I'm all in. We've had our disagreements, man. But I'm going to tell you right now, this Twitch stream is the greatest thing I've seen as far as religion and passion and the way, you know, the sermons are read and the way you apply them to your life, like the Charles Bronson story with the sickle and just talking about how that was applicable to your life.
It's been a long time coming, but fucking Kenneth Fishman fucking made it. And he fucking
Amen.
Put a Twitch up, and he went viral, and he's fucking. He made it. He made it.
I knew that. I knew that camera that Paulie got him wasn't for nothing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, Kenny. I mean, the production value alone. I mean, how many people do you have? Is that just you, or do you have some people working for you, brother?
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't done anything.
Okay. Well, Kenny, you went fucking viral, and like you could fuck. I mean, a bitch's like raw dog all day every day. I mean, like that's like you went viral.
We gotta keep it godly, brother.
Okay. Well, I mean. Well, you could fuck. What was her name? Tamara Faye. Yeah, Tamara Faye. Like you could fuck her raw dog 10 times a day, all day, every day, and you'd still be good.
And
like,
Kenny,
fucking made it. Like you don't have to worry about a thing for the rest of your life.
And the way that you can talk about different faiths, Kenny, like the rabbinical, I mean, the way you bring the rabbi in and the brisk and the rabbinical stuff is it's next level, man. You got everything covered, brother. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm in shock, Kenny. You must have been planning this for years, laughing at me. Like this dude don't even know what he's talking about because I'm about to come out with the hardest show on Twitch. Ain't nobody messing with Ken Fishman. And then you put it out, and it's just like there is no competition. There ain't no competition for the show, man.
And what DC2 is trying to say is that you will never have to fuck a fat bitch ever again in your life.
No. Those days are over, Kenny. Those days long gone. No wildebeests. No hairy back motherfucker. Hey, listen, you got the prime rib now, brother.
Exactly.
Prime rib at the Kenny, you getting that prime rib?
Exactly. How do you feel about this?
Say what?
Well, how do you feel about not having ever to fuck as DC2 would say, fuck a fat bitch ever again in your life?
Well, that's great.
He's speechless, man. He's speechless. Listen, Kenny knows. He doesn't have to say it.
Kenny said that's great. Hell fucking yeah.
It is great, Kenny. That is great, brother. Listen, Kenny, I mean, you just keep up the good work, man. If there's a place for us to donate to the, to help you out with anything you might need, man, you just tell us where to donate, brother, because listen, whether you want to, pay for Bibles or help with the rabbinical studies, I would love to give some money to this new show. It's a beautiful thing, brother.
Okay, that sounds great.
But where do I send the money, Kenny?
Don't know.
Kenny, you don't have a place for me to send you money?
Kenny, you've got to have a site. Like set aside for, if you're walking through the park, bareback or, I mean, come on,
Kenny.
No, don't have a sight.
Are you so humble that you ain't gonna take my money? Is it because I'm black, Kenny? Kenny, I thought we got past this, brother. Come on, man.
Kenny, that's racist as fuck.
Kenny, I just want to send you some hard-earned money, brother.
You better accept the donation, because if you don't, that's racist.
Kenny, don't stutter, Kenny. Are you lying, Kenny? Kenny, don't lie to me. Come on, man. We want to circle the trust, Kenny. Kenny.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't have this thing going on Twitch. It's not me.
Well,
what?
Kenny. Martin Luther had a dream, and you're fucking up the dream. I'm not trying to call you out, but I mean, let's
Wait a
facts
minute.
Facts be facts.
Kenny, wait. Are you saying, hold on, Bo, is he saying that the Twitch stream is not his?
Yeah,
that's
what
right.
he's saying.
Well, what the
he's
fuck say, am
he's
I
saying
doing
he's
saying
he's going to have a dream, and he doesn't
Kenny,
give a fuck about anybody else that has the dream, I mean.
Kenny, why did you let me go through all that if it wasn't your show? What? Oh, my God. Lord,
I told you already it wasn't my show. You weren't listening.
Kenny, I talked for 5 solid minutes, and you didn't say nothing. You were just breathing real heavy like you were yawny or something. Kenny. Oh,
Kenny,
Lord.
What? Kenny.
So what? Kenny.
What the fuck were you doing being horny in front of his fucking show? That's fucked up.
Kenny, wait a minute. So it's not
you. Kenny, show some fucking respect. I mean that's fucked up that you were beating off in front of his show. I mean, come on.
Kenny, I'm confused, man. I'm very confused. So you're saying that the GRM is actually Kent, and Kent is doing GRM on Twitch. That's what you're saying. So Kent is the new owner of GRM.
No, he's not the new owner of GRM.
They
hired another GRM.
You just admitted to it. You
Kenny,
just admitted to it. That
called?
Is.
Kenny, what's your
I
new
cannot
show going to be called? Cocks and assholes? Kenny, buttholes and cocks? What's it going to be called, brother? Let the cat out the bag. What's the new show going to be called? Because obviously it ain't going to be GRM no more. Kenny.
I don't know.
Okay, well,
goodbye, everybody. Okay. Let me see if this is Tony's up. Hello,
I'd like
Tony?
To thank Benjamin Buford Fountain for...
Okay. Well, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Have a wonderful night. See you all on Saturday. Goodbye.